أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير صدق الله العظيم. We continue our discussion with those things that the ulama have stated on the basis of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we have evil thoughts, ill thoughts that cross our minds, we will not be able to detect whether it comes from our own selves or whether it is the waswasa of shaitan. So we should seek the refuge, the protection and the shelter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going through what we discussed yesterday and then we continue. Number one is this, that we say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim. In other words, directly seeking the protection and the shelter and the refuge of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is very, very easy for us to do. It is best that on the onslaught of these waswasas, on the onslaught of these ill and evil thoughts, when it just comes into the mind, we say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim. On our own, we are unable to overcome it, so we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second was the mu'awwadatain, that is the two surahs, the last two surahs of the Quran Sharif, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, and then thereafter, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Number three was ayatul kursi. Number four, surah al-Baqarah. Ulama have written, for those that have this continuous onslaught, for them it will be good for them to recite surah al-Baqarah. And then number five, the next two verses, that is آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون, till the end of Surah Baqarah. Thereafter, number six was Surah Hamim Mu'min, that is the very beginning of the surah, a few ayats, Hamim, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ ذِي التَّوْلِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ إِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. Thereafter, number seven we discussed today, and that is any form of dhikrullah, any form of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here, one very, very important aspect, like Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has spoken about in Surah An-Nas. When we look at the surah very quickly, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Say, I seek refuge, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, in the Rabb of mankind, in the sustainer of mankind. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, the king of mankind. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the God, the deity, the object of worship of mankind. From what? مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the waswas, from the waswasa, from the whispering of al-khannas. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has called the whisper of shaitan, the waswasa of shaitan, waswasa, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to shaitan as al-khannas. Ulama have stated khannas is a person that backpedals, backtrods. In other words, a person that moves backwards. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling shaitan someone that backpedals, somebody that goes backwards? They say that when the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is made, then shaitan immediately moves away from the place or the person that is making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hence here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to him as al-khannas, and then after that Allah ta'ala says, min sharil waswasi al-khannas, alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri nas, who makes waswasa, who whispers into the hearts of mankind, min al-jinnati wan-nas. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of two people, or two kinds of people, or two groups of people that will make waswasa and whisper into our hearts. One is from the jinn, in other words the shayateen. And one is from insan also. Sometimes man speaks to us in such a way, not very openly, he is not very intent in what he says. We will not be able to detect what the person he's saying, but in his speech, he is luring us and he is encouraging us to break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we do not know that. Sometimes we do not understand all of it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then to protect us from all of that. So hence, it is important that when the onslaught of any kind of waswasa, ill thoughts come, make any form of dhikrullah. Dex, the ulama have written, particularly the dhikr of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, like Hazrat Mufti Sahib is explaining all the time, that within us there are many ills and many evils. And when we're saying La ilaha, there is no deity, there is no God, there is no object of worship. So all these ill thoughts, all those idols we have in our minds, we are now negating all of that, illallah, and we're bringing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala into our hearts. Scientifically, we have learned all the time that there is no such thing as a void, a vacuum. The heart is also such, that there is never a void and a vacuum in the heart, that there is nothing in the heart. Either there will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart, or there will be ghairullah in the heart of a person. So long as we are occupying the heart in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be on guard and we will be in check with regards to all the onslaughts of all these types of waswasa. Number 9, the ulama have written one very important way that we can ward off all the ills, in actual fact, not only the waswasa, even sins, and that is to try to remain constantly in the state of wudu. Wudu is going to break, but when the wudu breaks, we should try to make that wudu as quickly as possible, as soon as possible. One would understand that when we are in our business places, in our offices, we may not have facilities that are conducive. But as soon as the occasion arises, try to make wudu and try to remain in the state of wudu all the time. This will protect us not only from waswasa, but it will also protect us from sin. In one hadith, our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that that person that leaves this world, maut comes upon the person and he is in the state of wudu, then that person leaves this world with a rank of shahadat. In other words, that person gets the rank of martyrdom in the courts, in the books, in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that should become part of our life, and Allah ta'ala make this a reality that we may remain. Some ulama have said that see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about the malaika, la ya'suna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. They are park, they are in a state of purity, they are pure at all times. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do only what Allah ta'ala has commanded. Staying pure in this way, although it is an outward purity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us that rank insha'Allah. And then number 10 is hifadat and control of our eyes. When we begin to control our eyes, not to see what is haram, not to see who is haram. When we learn to control our eyes, we will find automatically, number 1, the sweetness of iman that will enter our hearts, and number 2, waswasa will then leave us. These eyes, these ears, these are all, our whole body in actual fact is like a funnel. If we look at our heads and then we look at our heart, it is all like a funnel. What comes into the ear will go into the heart. What is seen and perceived by the eyes, that also enters the heart. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is the khiyanat, what is the misappropriation, the misuse of the heart. And Allah ta'ala also knows what is hidden in the misappropriation of the ears, of the eyes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in the heart, what is down deep, those secret thoughts. Even a person may be a lifetime partner for 100 years, but a partner will never know what is in the mind and the heart of a person. But all of that is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to safeguard and look after the eyes, so these are 10 prescriptions that the ulama have given. And again, when there are thoughts with regards to iman and kufr, then immediately say, amantu billah, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then we will ward all of it off. So very briefly, this was the interpretation of this ayat, lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in the ownership, in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa in tubudu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu yuhasibukum bihi Allah. And if you make known whatever is in your hearts, whatever is within yourselves, or you keep it a secret, that is known to Allah, and yuhasibukum bihi Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take an accountability of it. Obviously we discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then abrogated this in the next and the following verse, فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَىٰ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَىٰ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives whomsoever Allah ta'ala desires, وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَىٰ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has power over all things. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.